Welcome back to part two of our podcast on Microsoft's purchase of LinkedIn with Lauren Horwitz and Brent Leary. We're going to discuss open APIs and also the future of this purchase. What does it mean for social CRM and Microsoft Dynamics? Now, let me ask you about this. We started talking about this just before we started to record. This is a curious scenario. So last year, LinkedIn actually closed off some of its APIs and made it a little bit more difficult to integrate with. Now that Microsoft has purchased LinkedIn, what direction do you foresee it going? And do you foresee it opening up those APIs again, or maybe closing them off even further, edging out Salesforce, which is one of the integrations that remained after that marginalization or closing off last year? So what's your expectation there, Brent?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Couple of years ago, where LinkedIn was open, their API was open to a lot of the software vendors to leverage certain pieces of their functionality and to get access to certain pieces of data. And a lot of the CRM vendors, big and small, not just the big enterprise vendors, but the small guys, were leveraging that to provide some level of LinkedIn information through their applications. And all of a sudden, LinkedIn kind of closed that loop. And made it inaccessible to every one of the vendors, this CRM vendors in particular, I know for sure, with the exception of Salesforce and Microsoft. And so that provided a pretty nice little advantage to those companies to be able to leverage an API from LinkedIn that other vendors weren't able to leverage anymore. So now that Microsoft is buying LinkedIn, do they shut the hole on Salesforce, or do they open it up for everybody? Do they now say, let's go back and allow the vendors to be able to access the API? I would find it really hard to think that they would just close it off. Yeah. and be the only one to use it, only because I think maybe there's some sort of short-term kind of benefit, but I think in the long term, if you actually make it more public again, open it up again, and have other applications being able to access this information, it could provide Microsoft with some even more valuable data points that they can leverage and gain some insights and intelligence on and provide back to their users, based on how other software vendors are leveraging the API that LinkedIn has. So I tend to think in this age of more open systems and Microsoft has shown themselves to be really looking more forward to partnering as opposed to kind of closing off and becoming their own little island. I would think if they make any move, it would be to open it up, to where it was before, as opposed to, shutting everybody out. And now it's just Microsoft, being able to have this information at hand. So we'll see. It'll be interesting. I could see the potential benefits for both sides, but I just think it would be a little bit more. I would say they would get so much flack from the developer community if they did that. I just don't think Nadella doesn't seem to operate that way. He seems to be more of an open system guy than a closed system guy.
That's my sort of understanding of it, right? Is he's kind of come into Microsoft with a new vision of openness rather than kind of proprietary lockdown, which to some extent was the, ethic previously, and now, cloud first, mobile first, open integration and sharing of data rather than kind of closing things down. So it seems to me, it would be hard to imagine them going in the other direction in some ways, although maybe it would be to their benefit, at least in the short term.
Yeah, I would think so. It's just so interesting because now I've been thinking about this a little bit. Microsoft actually were interested in buying LinkedIn as far back as I think like the early 2000s, when they first got started. And I think the price tag back then, it looks like it was around $1.5 billion. And so they finally got their company a little more expensive, but they finally got it. So, they've been thinking about this for a long time. So I guess maybe we shouldn't be as surprised that they pulled it off. But it is interesting to see, and it'll be more interesting to see how they actually integrate it into all those. I mean, they've bought Skype, they bought Yammer, they've bought all these big pieces, none bigger than this. And so it'll be interesting to see how they pull it all together. The components are all there. It's just a matter of how do they integrate these things together.
Right. And as is sometimes common with Microsoft, as they purchase new things, they kind of have to revisit, or they may or may not revisit the existing portfolio, which then has some kind of strange and confusing overlaps. You mentioned Skype and Yammer. Perfect example right there, and groups, three sort of overlapping services that create some confusion, I think, for companies. This is, I think, has clear value that's kind of distinct, but I think that's one of the things that they always kind of run up against is, well, how does this work with our existing portfolio?
Yeah, we know that Office 365, we know Azure, are like the foundations to what Microsoft is doing and building. And as they add these kind of these components, it's always kind of aimed at putting Azure and Office 365 in an even better position to be used by these big companies, big and small companies. So it's just really fascinating to see exactly kind of speculate what are they going to do with something that like LinkedIn that has so much potential from the rich data source, and how do they leverage that throughout those, you know, mainstay applications that they have, and is it the likelihood of them trying to, because most business people are already using Office in some form or fashion, so are these services, are these moves meant to help more people convert from traditional Office to Office 365? So is this more of a move to extend relationships and move them from older software applications to the Office 365 stack? Or is it a move that they think will bring them net new customers that maybe haven't been using Office as much? And will this, you know, whatever they make of the LinkedIn piece, how they integrate it in, will this be a move to get net new customers on the stack as well? It's hard to believe there's a lot of net new customers out there for Office, you know, they are, from a business perspective at least. So I think this is a move that they hope will transform their current customers who aren't on the Office 365 stack, that have been maybe hold out and like installed software, give them more reason to move to it, because you have to believe that anything they do is going to be aimed at making Office 365 more attractive, as opposed to giving this to the folks to stay on, you know, the stuff that you install on your laptop.
So that's sort of my final question for you, Brent. What do you think, you know, 12 months down the road, what do you anticipate might happen with this acquisition? Is it really about enhancing Dynamics? Is it about enhancing Office 365 and pushing that adoption past the, say, 30% mark? What do you foresee?
Yeah, I think what they're going to do is they're going to try to make this as attractive to for people to make that transition to Office 365. More insights, more machine learning is going to be accessible via these cloud-based solutions. And that should make people want to switch over. As I was talking about in terms of, you know, just getting the insights, if you're a salesperson that hasn't really traditionally liked using CRM because you didn't understand what it gave you, you understand what it took from you. Now, having this data run on these machine learning systems, that provides kind of information and insight you aren't going to get from your traditional system. So that does give you an opportunity to want to go and use it. And I think you will see more and more, that might accelerate the adoption rate. And that acceleration would be important, because then it also gets more people on the subscriptions, and it also hopefully gets more people used to getting that information quickly and kind of getting addicted to it, so to speak. And so it does serve that kind of potential accelerator for the move. And then it also provides a more reason to use their business applications like the Dynamics CRM, because once again, the power of this is in not just using Office 365, but leveraging those insights and from a business perspective, and leveraging, you know, the business functionality that comes along with what Microsoft is offering. So you have your business productivity, you know, with the Office 365, but you also have more of the business intelligence, you know, the business process management, the workflow automation. That all comes from, you know, the dynamic CRM side of the house from a CRM perspective. And so that's the combination, I think, that, you know, Microsoft is looking to offer, and being able to have intelligence run across both the productivity and the, you know, the business intelligence, that becomes a really attractive offering that gives them something that could compete with anything that's out there, you know, from a Salesforce, from an Oracle, you know, from SAP, from any of the other big enterprise.
Right. And there's only a few that really can lay claim to that kind of presence throughout, you know, from analytics to marketing to advertising to basic CRM. There's only a few players, really, that can really lay claim to that kind of outstretched arm.
Yeah, very few. And with LinkedIn, that provides Microsoft with that, with just a huge rich source of data that they can infuse into a number of different pieces to their puzzle.
Well, this is something I would imagine we'll be watching over the next, say, 12 months. And I hope we can ask you back for further insight as we're watching it.
Oh, absolutely. I am so interested. You look at what Salesforce did with the Demandware, and now that was just a few weeks ago, and now we're already on the latest and more bigger news story. Who knows what will happen next week? We might have to talk about something even bigger next week. Who knows?
I know. It's all quite surprising how swift these moves are and how major. So, Brent, we'll be staying in close touch with you. And again, thanks so much for providing your insight today.
It's always a pleasure speaking with you.
Always a pleasure for me as well. And for more on CRM and marketing technology, you can always check out searchcrm.com and our sister site, searchsalesforce.com. And until next time, I'm Lauren Horwitz.